Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Wonderful day, yes?
Amen.
Absolutely. While we were during that part of our worship, how many of you know our life is a life of worship? It should be lived in worship of Him. And but while we're in that session, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why is it that it feels like it's plowing this morning? Because you was asking for the plow? Oh, you was asking for the plow. Well, did you plow this morning? Okay. But I was asking about that. And, you know, sometimes there's such ease to enter. True? And then sometimes it looks like there's something that is pushing, like a pushback, you know, that and actually, all of that is designed. Listen to this. All of that is designed by God. Some days you just feel His presence. And some days you're thinking, where is He? But He's always here. But I want you to know something today, that everything that you go through is designed by God to help you to be empowered. The Bible talks about a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise is when you have to sacrifice to do it. You have to push through. You have to say, yes, I'll praise you. Circumstances are this, circumstances are that, or I've got this that is holding me back. I've got this that is showing itself to be strong. And the Lord actually, because I was really in dialogue with the Lord in it while we're sitting there, standing there in worship. And the Lord reminded me, the Holy Spirit reminded me that there are some things that look almost impossible to get through. And without Him, you won't get through. Without Him, you won't get through it. In your own power, in your own mindset, in your own struggle, in your own reasoning, in your own ability, you won't make it. You won't get through it. He said, but with me, you can. I said, well, and I'm in dialogue with the Holy Spirit. And He reminded me of Joshua and the people of God when they came to a big city that looked like it was too strong for them to overtake. And they had just crossed into the promised land. Does anybody know the name of the city? Jericho. Everybody say Jericho. Jericho. It was huge. It was massive. And it was impenetrable. You couldn't penetrate it. And yet that was their first enemy. That was their first task when they entered into the very land they were promised. And then they facing this thing, and the people become fearful. But Joshua hears from God, and he instructs the people, as God has communicated to him, he instructs the people, saying, no, we're going to go around it. We're going to blow trumpets and all that. But he gets to the part and said, on this trip, we're going to circle what's opposing us. We're going to circle what's opposing us. And then we're going to, strangest thing, then we're going to shout. But he tells them, don't shout till I tell you to shout. Because he knew that the walls, he knew that the city had to be circled by the people of God. There are some things that are opposing us that will not go away until there's a shout in obedience to Him. Well, I just don't believe that. My response is, okay. But I know that he's true. God brings difficulties in your life to prove your weakness and to show off his strength. God brings hard things in your life to show your weakness and to show off and to demonstrate his strength and his power. So the weapon of their warfare that day, at that moment, was a great shout. The Bible says it was a great shout. It just wasn't a shout. It was a great shout. And their shout was to God. It wasn't the force of their voice that was aimed or intended to make the walls tremble. It wasn't the loudness of our voices. It wasn't the loudness of their voices that did it. It was the tremendous praise that they had for their God who can do anything. Amen. So they gave themselves to him. They gave their bodies, their voices, their shout to him. They gave it up to him. And the very thing that was so big and so strong and so mighty fell prey to the very power and presence of God. And the reason for that is the obedience and their shout to God. Their emphasis upon who he is, and we're going to do whatever you say and leave the rest to you. And then at that moment, the walls fell. Archaeologists have found the walls of Jericho several years ago, and they were not flat. They were intact this way. The walls didn't fall out. They didn't fall in. They fell straight down. What? Okay, well, that's interesting. No, that's the power of God. God just demonstrating his power, saying, look, whatever it is that's holding you back, I can sink it. Whatever this is, I can sink it. This is one of those moments for you. I don't know what it is. I have no idea what your Jericho looks like. But it looks like it's way too big. You know your weakness, you see your weakness, and you feel your weakness. And you see the mightiness, you see the strength, and you see how massive this thing is. And then God just says, I want you to surround it. And I want you to surround this thing. We need to understand that in the process of our lives and our living, we are going to face these moments. We're not going to have those Jericho moments that it's just way too big. See, you wonder why would you have them surround it? Why would you have them to walk around? Why would you do that? You know what he's showing off? His people. his people. It's almost like you're being displayed in all of your weakness. But God's putting you and I on display in all of our weakness. And he did with them. They just started walking around, this massive thing that they have nothing for in their own ability. God's showing his people off. And you're demonstrating to the thing that is very big to you, that's so massive to you, that's so huge to you, you're demonstrating, I'm not left yet. I'm still here. I may not have anything in my own ability to be able to stop what you're wanting to do, this thing that is wanting to stop you, stop your progress, or overtake you. I'm not left yet. It's almost like that time I was in Ingalls and I was at the first register and I heard the doors, the sliding doors just, I mean, they were so loud. You know, they're usually, you don't even hear them when you're at the register. But it was so loud, it just got my attention. And I think it was a spiritual thing. I know it was a spiritual thing. Because I looked and here comes this man walking through the door. And I hear the Lord speak to him and he said, he's coming for you. I said, well, why is he coming to me? I'm just here to buy milk. If it had been snowing, I'd have bought bread too. But so he walks right by. He doesn't go around. Nobody's behind me. He walks in front and walks right by me and just bumps into my shoulder just sort of like that. And I'm like, oh, what's up with him? He gets behind me and then I'm like this, and he puts his chest right here. He just leans in and puts his chest right here, and his head is right here. I'm like, God, you're going to have to do something with this man. All I want is a little half a gallon of milk. That's all I want. You know, and he leans in, and he's this far away from me, and he says this, and it's a real gruffy. He said, I'm here. I realized then this is demonic. And just natural response, spiritual, supernatural response, I turned to him and I said, you won't be for long. And I said, get back in the name of Jesus. And that man slid back 3 feet. He didn't move. He slid back 3 feet, and I'm like, yep, here we are. So about 3 feet between, he never said another word to me. I turned to the cashier. He's about 22 years old, 20-something years old, maybe 18, maybe 19. He's very young, and his eyes are this big around. And he said, what's going on? And I said, I just want to buy a half gallon of milk is all I want. No, he said, no, what's going on? And I can tell he's worried. He's anxious. I looked at him. I said, do you know Jesus? He said, yes. I said, you ain't got nothing to worry about. I said, you just do your job and ignore the rest. And he said, where are you going? I said, I'm going home. I said, but you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Just Jesus is here. You're okay. So, you know, I walk out and I'm on my way out. I'm thinking, well, God, I guess I need to wait on the man and witness to him. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, he said, nope, you've done what you needed to do. You've done what I wanted you to do. He said, just go home. So I went home. Now, I went in the next time and I watched those doors like this. But God puts his people on display. He puts us in circumstances that we don't have the power to do, but he does. And he just wants you to activate his power and use his power and just show the, his strength in the midst of what looked like it was going to be a bad scene. So this is what the Lord, I honestly think this is what the Holy Spirit's wanting us to do today. He wants us to surround that thing, whatever it is. That thing that is it's just so huge to you that you don't see a way through it. And he said, if my people will just obey me, I'll take care of their Jericho moments. So your whole life cannot be a Jericho. But I thank God for them, don't you? So I think there's a Jericho moment for each one of you today that he wants you to surround. And he wants you to be able to release your great shout to him. And let him do all the work. So if that's you, if that's y'all, just stand up. And just go ahead and stand up. And I want you to see your Jericho. I want you to see what it is that's opposing you. It's not a person, by the way. So don't picture a person. It's a spiritual dynamic that wants to get you confused and taking your eyes off the presence of God. And what God wants you to do is focus on the presence of God in the midst of this big thing that is facing you. Thinking that you're just a little nothing. God wants to use this very moment to sink it. Amen. So your progress can continue on into the very land that you've been given. See, Jericho held up God's people from going deeper into that kingdom. So whatever this is, has been holding you up, that's keeping you from entering in deeper into the kingdom of God. So here's your moment. I want you to go ahead and circle your issue. Circle your problem. Just go ahead and turn and circle. Just turn. Just go ahead and turn. Just turn. You got to move. You got to turn. Just turn. Just circle it. And then Joshua actually told the people that the sound of the trumpet, let your shout be released. Let your great shout be released. Your shout is not for that. Your shout is for the Almighty God whom you serve, that nothing's impossible for him. I take one more round around it. Take one more circle around it, okay? Get ready. Don't stop. Go ahead, give it to him. Give it to him. Give him another one. Give him another one. You may be seated. And here's your word from God. Now continue your journey and don't look back. Continue your journey and don't look back. Jericho's gone. Carnal mind cannot discern spiritual things. Amen. So if your mind is carnal, you won't have an idea of what's going on. You have to see this in the spiritual dynamic of what it is. It's almost like, you know, I just don't believe all that. You know, that's almost like somebody depositing $1 million in your checking account and you're saying, well, I don't believe it's there. Well, then don't ever go check. Don't ever try it out. Do you know that shouts make the devil nervous? Especially the ones that you're giving to God. A shout at a football game ain't never put him uneasy at all. A shout from one of God's people releasing the praises, the high praises, and the great voice, the great noise that we have out of our voice going straight to him in everything that the enemy's doing is trying to keep us from making progress. And in the face of that, you shout, it causes him to tremble. Why? Because it's no longer about your weakness. It is now all about his strength. And he knows his strength. Well, that's the introduction for today. I got something to do. Where's that baby? Oh, my goodness. Wait. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's just me. There you go. Victoria, is that correct? Victoria. She is how old? 4 days old, Victoria. Welcome, Victoria. She's got the hiccups. Looky. 4 days old. Heather, she looks like you. She really does. Victoria. Don't be reaching over here. Don't be reaching over here. Lord, take them little hiccups away from her in Jesus' name. My. You're back from California. No? Where? You're back? You didn't go to California? Okay. All right. Let's see this. Okay. Oh, yeah. Great job. I didn't break the China doll. I love doing that. I really do. We know. You know, this thing about living a life that is surrendered to God and yielded to God, it's one that is the most fruitful in your life. If you and I are ever going to accomplish whatever it is that God has us on this earth to accomplish, and by the way, each one of us has the fullness of his destiny that is awaiting. But if we're ever going to attain the fullness of that, it will be because we've come to recognize his presence. Because it won't be on mine and your strength that we'll accomplish it. It will be by his power. It will be by his presence. It'll be by the presence of his spirit in us and upon us to be able to do the things he wants us to do, to be able to show forth his glory, and to be able to fulfill the kingdom work. So we have to understand that these things, any of these things that comes up into our life, comes forward into our life, are designed by God to empower us even more so than what we currently are, what we're using. He doesn't give us more power. He's already given us all the power of him. The resurrection power resides in us. But how much of that resurrecting presence are we actually connecting to when we live our life? See, that's the question. But see, the enemy wants to dwarf our plans of following him in such a way that is magnificently glorious to the Lord. And the enemy wants to get us on a wrong track, get us on a wrong trail, get us in a place where we think it's God, but it isn't. See, he wants us to be able to acknowledge. See, but that's the thing about, he says, trust in the Lord with what? All y'all know it. With how much? All of your heart. What's the rest of it say? Lean not unto your own understanding, but in how many of your ways? All of your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight, or he will smooth out your path. See, that word acknowledge, it's almost like today, had I not recognized, listen, had I not recognized Victoria was present, I could not have not acknowledged her to you. So acknowledgement of him is to recognize he's present. Does that make sense? He's present. So we have to be able to, so that in that word that talks about acknowledge in all your ways, acknowledge him. It says in all of your ways, recognize that he's here, he's with you, and he's present, and then acknowledge his presence. Now here, see, the whole thing starts out with trust. And it says you're going to have to be able to trust him. It's just like this morning. You're going to have to be able to trust that he's here, even though you don't feel it, even feel his presence, even in praise, even in worship. Because he wants us to be able to, even when he begins to sort of hide himself from you feeling it, you feeling him, that he hides himself in order to see if you're going to seek him. That's the reason Jesus said, seek the Lord and you shall find him. And he says, knock. Right? What's the rest of it? Ask. It shall be given. Seek. You shall find. See, all of those are not Ask one time, knock one time, ask one time, seek one time. All three of those are a continual process. You've knocked, well, I've knocked one time. Well, he says, keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. Well, I've already got what I asked for. Well, keep knocking. There's more he wants to give you. There's more he wants to show you. Keep on asking. There's more he wants to give you. Keep on seeking. Well, I already have him. I agree with that. If you're born again, you do. You already have him. So what are you seeking? More of who he is to be known by me. I'd like to say, you know, do you want to see him as your healer? You got to seek him that way. But if you don't recognize his presence, you won't acknowledge him. We have to understand that we have to recognize the presence of God. Recognize he's here. In other words, you have to know that he's here. You have to understand that he's here. You have to understand that he's in you. And you have to understand that he wants you to seek him. When do I seek him? You ought to seek him all the time. You should never stop seeking him. You know, I heard it said one time that the angels are saying, you know, glory, glory. Just all the glory, giving high glory unto the Lord. You know, and someone else said it's because God is continually moving, and they see different aspects of who he is, and they just begin to praise him. Yeah, he's with us and he's in us. His power is within us, but how much are we using? You know why we haven't used a lot? We haven't knocked for it. We haven't asked for it to be demonstrated. We haven't been seeking God in that way. See, the presence of God is absolutely wonderful, absolutely glorious, and it can be absolutely controversial. And sometimes that controversy keeps us at a place to where we will be tied up, because I don't know that I want. I had a pastor one of our elders, Elder Doug, you know, said, you know, your pastor is the most controversial pastor in the county. Yeah. No, I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for that. And Brother Doug said, well, tell me where he's wrong, and I'll go tell him. Is that what you told him? Tell me where he's wrong, and I'll go tell him. I'll go help him. Because if he's wrong, he needs to be helped. Tell me where he's wrong. Well, that's just not the way we believe. Doug said, you got to come up with something better than that. See, the thing is, if we hide ourselves from controversial moments, then we will limit the very thing that God wants to do in us to be able to show himself to be strong. Because we will hide because of fear. See, God wants his church to be so in tune with his presence. But see, a lot of times we're operating like Peter. We're inside a boat, and we're just going where God told us to go. God wants you to go to the other. We're just rowing the boat. We're just in the boat. Storm comes up. I mean, winds are whirling. Waves are splashing and hitting the side of the boat, and it's thundering, and it's raining, and all this violence is going on in the atmosphere. Jesus shows up, just walking on the water. He's going to the other side too to meet him. But the boat left him. Actually, he sent the boat. And then he gets to that place, and Peter, you know, we have to understand that this is a lot like us. Peter begins to see this and begins to say, and then somebody says, wait a minute, I think it's a ghost, I think it's a spirit, I think it's this, and oh, you know. Somebody said, no, it's the Lord. Here's Peter's question. If it's you, tell me to come out there where you at. I want to be where you are. If this is you, I want to be where you are. I'm over here in this boat. I want to be where you are. What did Jesus say? Come. Come on, Peter. So that's you and I want to be with Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. And Jesus says, come on. Come on. He throws his leg over and he puts his first step on the water and second step, third step. And what is he doing? He's on the water, but he's walking on the word come. He's walking on the word that Jesus said, come. See, there's power in what we say, especially power in what Jesus says. So he gets out and he walks and he goes to where the presence of Jesus is. And now that he gets there, and now that he gets at the presence of Jesus, now his focus begins to turn. Now he begins to think of, wait a minute, that rain's hitting me in the face. That wind is strong today. That wave, look at the next wave coming up. Look at all this. Huh? And what does the Bible say? He begins to sink. But Jesus saves him, right? See, here's what we do a lot of times. We want the presence of God just enough to get us where he is. But then once we get with him, we get complacent about who's with us. And then start looking at things. Even in the presence of Jesus, he began looking at other things and not Jesus' presence. And then he begins to thinking, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, and I'm going to sink. So don't we do that a lot of times? We want the salvation. We want to be born again. We don't want to go to hell. We want that. And then once we get it, then we sort of get a little complacent, and then we begin to think about, oh, man, this is bad stuff out here. You forget about being in the presence of God, being in his presence. We build boxes and saying, what kind of box is that? Well, that's my God box. That's the box that I've got God in. No, we don't say those things, but we do those things. We build boxes that we're comfortable with, and this is the way God looks, this is the way God acts, and this is the way he behaves, and this is the way he speaks. And also, there's nothing in this box that'll do this, and nothing in this box. We took out, no, God doesn't do that, God doesn't do this, God doesn't. And we're only looking for the God of the box. And then he shows up. Yoo-hoo. I want you to come over this way. That's not God. Well, how do you know that's not God? I'm looking in my box, and that's not my view of God. And you know, God is going to continually come to your box because he's a lot bigger than whatever box you've got built. Whatever view that you have of God is much, much bigger. That's the reason you seek him, to find out all that he's like, not just a little bit of what he's like. It has to be a seeking, a desire to be able to know more of him. Not have more. We've already got the fullness of who he is. But yet we build these boxes and we build these views and we build these ways of thinking that keeps, we try to keep him all boxed up. And he'll let that happen for a little while. But then he'll come and he'll just, the seams of your box doesn't hold anymore. And anything that we don't like that he may say that this is what we need to go do, we'll start taking that out of our box. God will never ask me to give this up. We sing this song, too. We talked about this the other Wednesday. We sing this song, he gives and takes away. He gives and takes away. I'm not mocking. I'm just saying we'll do that. And then he'll say, I'm giving you something. I'm giving you something. Look what God gave me. And then the next time we see or we show off somebody, they'll say, what's wrong? Well, I'm losing. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why. Well, God taking it away. You know, the Lord revealed to me one time that I was a hypocrite. Really, he did. He said, you know, have you looked at what the Pharisees were? Yeah, they were hypocrites. He said, well, that's what you are right now. You're all this until I want to take something. Until I want you to give up something that I gave you. And we hear teachings, God will never ask you for something that he gave you. That's a box. Until he asks you for something. Bobby Connor said this, we're way too familiar with a God that we barely know. I never forgot. He said that years ago right here. He said, we were way too familiar with a God that we barely know. By the way, he's coming in August. And that's true. We get way too familiar. Okay, this is nice standing out on the water with Jesus. And cool. Oh, yeah, man, this is great. This is great, but this storm is too hard. And all of a sudden, we begin to lean upon our own understanding. Instead of recognizing and acknowledging his presence. That's what he wants us to do. Every circumstance. Do you know that every circumstance that you are touched by has a design on it from God to grow you and I closer to him? And to see and see this thing about his presence, it's an empowering presence. It's not just a presence that he's here, it's an empowering presence. See, sometimes we won't even acknowledge that that's where we are in this situation. Wait a minute. That's the reason he says, in all your ways. Everybody say all. In all your ways. In all your ways. In all your ways. In all your ways. Recognize that he's here and acknowledge his presence, and he will open the paths for you to be able to walk in. Now, the other boy stayed in the boat. They made fun of Peter. Yeah, I see how it was. Well, you never stepped out. You never even wanted to get close to him. Right? You know what? You know the reason he had to work hard on Peter is Peter was full of pride. Peter had a lot of pride. And the Lord had to work on Peter to get pride out and religious pride is ugly. let's see, bring the being the people of his presence. Have you ever taken examinations of your life? Examined yourself and where you are in your walk with God? How much of Him is really living from you? How much of Him are you seeking to demonstrate more as you take your next breath? Have you ever pondered what your life would be like if you were more yielded? Just to think. See, one of the best things that we can do now, but see, we're just way too busy. We're just way too busy with stuff. Is that true? I see some heads shaking. It's true. We're just way too busy. But if the whole New Testament is about relationship. Sometimes we're just way too busy. One of the best things that we can do when we have these difficulties and these giants and these trials and these things that come at us, one of the best things we can do is say, okay, I'm turning off this right here. I'm laying this phone in another room. I'm getting, and for the next, listen to me, and for the next hour, for the next 30 minutes, it's just going to be me and him. It's just going to be me pursuing him. It's just going to be me giving my praises to him. It's just going to be me and him fellowshipping together. It's going to be me listening and me praising, and it's going to be him empowering me, and he's going to be speaking to him, and he's going to be, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's going to help me. But see, here's the thing about it. If we don't want the relationship, all our Christian life will be performance. Our spirituality will be one of I want God to do stuff. I don't want to walk with him. I just want him to do stuff. Ding, 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 ding. Hey, fix this. This is prayer. You know, when he'll ring the bellhop and make sure he comes and fixes this. And then once he fixes this, you know, it's like this guy says, God, get me out of this. And if you just get me out of this one, I'll get out of my next one. I'll get out of the next one all by myself. How do we know that ain't going to work? Just help me with this one. But see, our desire for him must be greater, far greater than anything in our life. Anything in our life. And when it isn't, we will begin to become performers instead of children. Amen. See, he wants the relationship to be between us, one that is like father and son, father and daughter. That's the New Testament. All the teaching of the New Testament is about relationship. Some people go to church all their life, never have a relationship with God. Jesus actually said this, there's going to come a time when people are going to approach and say, Lord, Lord, emphasizing, you're my Lord, you're my Lord, you're my Lord, you're my Lord, 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 you're my Lord, you're my Lord. And they'll say, have we not done this? Have we not went to church every Sunday? Have we not cast out demons? Have we not fed people? Have we not? And just going through the list of what I've done. What I've done. And Jesus said, But I'm going to say to them, listen to this, but I'm going to say to them, you have to leave me now. You have to depart from my presence. Because you have iniquity. The iniquity is the bent towards sin. It's lawlessness. In other words, you're ungoverned by the kingdom. The government of God is not giving you the instructions. You have your own kingdom. Then he says, I never knew you. Do you understand what that's saying? You may say, well, how would God not know us? Didn't the Bible say that he knew us from the foundations of the earth? Yeah. But see, this passage, this thing about I never knew you, is you never pursued a relationship with me. You did all this stuff, but you never made it about a relationship with me. It's the reason we can get all wrapped up in the church activities, which not always bad, but truth be known, it's not always good either. Well, because we got to be able to see His presence. Got to be able to encounter His presence. We got to be able to attach ourselves to the very presence that we know of and the one that we're with now and be grateful for the very... See, I don't always get goosebumps, do you? Any of you, occasionally you'll get goosebumps. You just have this tingling. You know, I love those. Don't you? Sometimes I was with somebody the other week and as a matter of fact, I went to get pine needles. And there's a guy out there and loading up 40 pine bales of pine needles, and he said, "How's it been going?" Well, that's just an open door for me. I'll tell you how it's been going for me. Let me tell you what God's doing. And I begin to tell him about what God's doing, what God is doing in my life. I begin to tell him what God's doing at the church. I begin to tell him what God's doing. I begin to just share the goodness of God. Oh, you got to hear this. And I'm sharing it, and I got goosebumps all over me. And he looks at me, and he says, "Look at this." And he's got bigger goosebumps than I got. Look at this. Tell me more. Look at this. Why is that? I love those, but I don't always get them. I didn't get them when I started talking. But his presence began to manifest itself right there where the pine needles were. Right in the middle of the pine needles, he shows up. I leave there with 40 bales of pine needles, and I know Brenda's going to be happy. But I also leave there with the presence of God, tangible presence of God, that I'm feeling, and that he wants people to know how good he really is, even in the midst of what they're going through. Well, it's 2 minutes after. Isn't God good? Yes, he is. Stand to your feet for another 20 minutes. No, I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. I really am. Well, I didn't even take my notes out of my Bible. I'm not going to look at them. Listen. Jesus Charlie, can you come up? Have you got that song ready, Russell? Russell, ready? Russell? No? Yeah. Yeah, that song was sort of rolling around. You got it? You got it? Okay. This talks about, have you got the words there? Let me read this to you. It says, healing rain is falling down. We do that, healing rain is falling down. Not afraid. Then he says, majesty. You're acknowledging majesty. Then he says, majesty. Your grace found me just as I am. Empty-handed, but alive in your hand. Forever I am changed by your love in the presence of your majesty. Let's sing that and then we'll go home. Okay? Can we get that up there? Hold it a second.
Healing rain.
Healing rain. You have to say something. I can't. What did he say? Who needs a TV for us to worship? Look. You know, we just said, we'll worship without a TV. Okay, I'll turn it on. I love him. I do. Go ahead, Pastor John.
Majesty.
Worship him.
Majesty. Your grace has found me just as I am. Empty-handed, but alive in your hand. Just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hand, majesty, majesty, forever I am chased by your love, in the presence of your majesty. Healing rain. Healing rain is falling down. Healing rain is falling down. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Healing rain is falling down. Healing rain is falling down. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Falling down. I'm not afraid. eternity. Forever I am changed by your love, in the presence of your majesty.
And amen. Amen. You know, the rain is a symbol of his presence. So the next time it rains, just get out in it. You won't regret it. God bless you, church. I really do love you. I really do. There's days that are coming that would scare the natural person out of their own skin, but not for the supernatural people. Be at peace. Demonstrate his presence when everybody else is going chaotic. Get to the place that you acknowledge him even in the midst of all the darkness of the world. That you can do the very thing that he's called you to do. Being able to acknowledge him, to recognize him, and to acknowledge him will set you in a place to fulfill the moment that he's designed for you to demonstrate his glory. Yeah, you. Everybody wave at me. Yes, you. Yes, you. Yes, you. Every one of us has been planned. We've been planned by God to be able to demonstrate his glory no matter where we are. Yes, you. And to not expect to grow and grow and grow into more of his presence is not the right framework that we have to do. We have to adapt the mindset that he's here. No matter where you are, he's here. And you're bringing him wherever you go. Even into your darkest hour, even into the darkest places, he's made this for you to be able to shine forth the very light. So get rid of the boxes. And let him use you in whatever capacity that he so challenges you to do. And get rid of the baskets that are covering your light. You already have the light of God. The baskets are the man-woven. Baskets are woven. They're man-made things that keeps you undercover. Get rid of those man-made things and just kick it off of you. And allow him to be able to show forth who he is. And he'll put you on a lampstand on top of a hill where everybody can see you. That's what he's preparing us for, to be able to be seen from afar off. Because you'll be a light of hope and you'll be a light of his presence. And people will come from all over the place just to see your light. It's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. We just need to be ready for it. Amen. And you must turn to somebody and say, I'm all in. Amen. All right. Be still. Everybody be still. This is Michelle.
I just wanted to do a reminder at the end of, ladies, come join us Friday for a night of worship. Grace Chapel has an amazing worship team that's going to be joining us and just talking about dancing out of the darkness. So some of you, that may mean like you don't feel like coming. I don't feel like worshiping. And it's kind of looking at this box of, but what do I need to do? How can I align with his presence? And this is a way to do that. So we just invite you to come join us in a time of worship and just having some fellowship with some ladies outside of our church as well. So just come join us Friday at 7.
Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.